As we mentioned last week, 75 Wisconsin dairy farms were informed by Grassland Dairy that they would no longer be buying their milk. This stems from a trade issue between the U.S. and Canada that affects the market.
Representative Ron Kind is a Democrat representing the state's 3rd congressional district in western Wisconsin. He's concerned about the farmers who are being affected, and he sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture asking them to provide assistance to them. Representative Kind, welcome back to Central Time.
My pleasure.
So Grassland Dairy recently informed about 75 Wisconsin dairy farms that they would stop buying their milk and gave them less than 30 days' notice. What reason did Grassland give?
Well, this is a point of concern that many of us have been raising with not only the Obama administration, but the new Trump administration, that Canada has not been living up to their agreement under NAFTA, allowing more U.S. dairy exports into their market. Not so much trade tariffs as it is non-tariff barriers that are making it more difficult for us to be able to export dairy into Canada. And that is exactly what Canada is up to right now. And I've had numerous meetings with the new Trump administration trade team elevating this issue with them and asking them if they're going to do any type of renegotiation with NAFTA. Well, then our access to Canada as it relates to dairy and poultry has to be on the table, and Canada has to abide by what they had agreed to previously.
So for the farmers who have relied on Grassland to buy their milk, what are some of the immediate challenges that they're facing?
Well, the immediate challenge is they still have to milk every day, and they got to find a place for that product. So many of us have been reaching out to the various processors here in Wisconsin and the upper Midwest, trying to find a home for this milk for these farmers to sell to. The problem is we are dealing with overcapacity right now in our own domestic market. It's one of the reasons why the last couple of years milk and dairy products have been so low price-wise. So this is going to be a struggle, but we've got to coordinate with everyone here in Wisconsin, make sure that these farmers have a viable purchaser for the product because, you know, the cow's got to be milked. This is a 24/7 operation. But it also highlights the danger of having just one source to sell your milk to. And that was the problem that Grassland got into as far as exports to Canada. If something were to happen with that market, then unfortunately these farmers are going to be struggling to find another alternative buyer for the product that they're making.
So basically we've been talking about how Grassland gave these farmers very short notice, but it sounds like they were just passing along what they were in turn hearing from the Canadian government.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, we're trying to work with Grasslands now, but especially trying to increase pressure on the Canadian embassy and the Canadian government itself through the new administration and their new trade team. Again, I've met a few times with now Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who's been kind of President Trump's point person on trade. And in those meetings, I and a few others have raised the serious concern that we've had with Canada and what they've been doing in recent years and trying to find new creative ways of blocking the export of dairy and poultry products into the Canadian market from our producers here. And that's something that we need to enforce and look into and certainly make clear to Canada that we won't tolerate this type of behavior.
Representative Kind, you sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture asking for immediate assistance for the affected farmers. What specifically are you hoping to see?
Well, a couple of things. One is trying to find a viable market right now. I think that's the immediate concern, that these farmers have a different place where they could sell the milk that they are producing. And then secondly, again, elevating this issue to the highest level of government. So it's a government-government discussion with Canada to try to get them to change their behavior and tactics in this regard. Canada has a different system up there. They've got a supply management. They have quotas for their individual farmers. And if they exceed the quotas, they get penalized. So they're very protective of the type of dairy supply. But this is ultra-filtered milk. This is a different type of category, too, that Canada has been trying to take advantage of. And you know, that's what we're trying to accomplish here with the Department of Agriculture, but also the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, who is in constant communication with our Canadian counterparts.
We're talking with Representative Ron Kind. He represents Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district. He's a Democrat, and he is from western Wisconsin. It seems like there are many other businesses that would also rely on those farms continuing to operate and prosper. I'm thinking, for instance, of truckers and processors and banks that are holding loans and whatnot. Would any assistance that you're looking for and hoping you might see from the federal government maybe be extended to them as well?
Well, we're trying to find a quick market for this for the dairy products right now, so we don't get too far downstream as far as jobs impacted. But again, this is a reminder for us here in Wisconsin that production agriculture is still the number one industry that we do have as a state, employing more people directly or indirectly than any other business, and dairy is a key part of all that. But dairy, by its the very nature of the commodity, which is very perishable, is in a different situation from other farmers. I mean, they've got to sell the milk. The cows have to be milked, and that puts them into a less enviable position when it comes to market leverage. I mean, the processors know they got to sell the milk too. They would like to have a steady, guaranteed milk supply, and that's why trying to find an alternative buyer right now is the top priority. But we have a farm bill that's coming up for reauthorization. I think this is another example of some of the things that we need to look into with the 21st century farm policy. What tools, what risk management areas can we empower farmers with so they have more control over their own future in situations like this? So that's something I'm planning on being heavily involved with, again, as a representative for one of the larger agricultural producing districts in the nation.
Representative Kind, you made the point earlier that this is not a new issue. This has been simmering well back into the Obama administration. Why do you think there hasn't been enough will to move on it in the trade and commerce areas of the government to avoid something like this happening?
Well, unfortunately, there was some movement on it. The Obama administration in negotiating the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement was gaining more market access for dairy in Canada, something that Canada had agreed to do outside of NAFTA. And that was a very positive thing for our agriculture sector, but dairy producers in particular in Wisconsin. But of course, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement was immediately rejected by the Trump administration. They didn't even look at the language of it, which was unfortunate because much of what they're talking to renegotiate NAFTA about was contained in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So I've been emphasizing with the new trade representatives for the Trump administration to look at that first. Look to what Canada and Mexico already agreed to do under the Trans-Pacific Partnership rather than trying to recreate the wheel all over again. And hopefully they will do that because I think there was progress made, perhaps not as much as we would like initially, but certainly greater market access for dairy to Canada. But also, from Mexico's point of view, they had agreed to enhance labor protections, worker protections for their workers, environmental standards, human rights standards, a reduction of various tariff barriers that have made it more expensive for us to export into that market. But unfortunately, you know, trade got caught up in this political vortex, and the Trans-Pacific Partnership wasn't even allowed to come up for a discussion or even a vote. And this also involved most of the Pacific Rim, which is the fastest growing region of the global economy. It's a place where we need to be. We need to be competing. And I'd rather having us compete there under our rules than trying to compete with China's rules, which is basically what we've allowed to take place now with our withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
In fairness to the Trump administration, I would say that indications were that Hillary Clinton also was going to scrap the TPP. So we might be in the same position here, regardless of whether it's current
President
Trump. Yeah, but
we could have got this done last year under the Obama administration. Obviously, President Obama, having negotiated the agreement, was very much in favor of it. There was an opportunity last year still to take it up for consideration, even before a new administration, regardless of who it was, took place. And I think it was a missed opportunity because we were elevating standards up to where we are as a nation in comparison to all these other nations around the Pacific Rim. And perhaps more importantly, we were the ones helping establish the rules rather than having China now establish those rules of trade in the region and us trying to work on the outside in and try to compete in what will ultimately be a race to the bottom now with no worker protections, no environmental standards, and the 18,000 tariff barriers that were going down to zero, making it easier for us to export into this fast-growing region. Those 18,000 tariffs remain in effect today. again, putting us at a distinct disadvantage.
And as we wrap up, Representative Kind, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that the National Milk Producers Federation said that this issue could extend to tens of thousands of dairy farms across the country if it's not resolved. Is this something that's on the radar in a bipartisan way in Congress? Are you talking to your colleagues about how to address this?
Yeah, very much so. In fact, we're going to be coordinating with the entire Wisconsin delegation this week, another letter to the administration, so it will be very bipartisan. I've been working with Republican colleagues in the Pacific Northwest and the New England area that have similar concerns. So, yeah, we're approaching this in a bipartisan way. We're trying to find a way to fix this with Canada. But Canada has known, and they've been put on notice for quite some time, that we have not been happy with their blocking of our exports, dairy, but also poultry is another key concern that we have. And I have raised this in my meetings with Canadian officials, from the ambassador to their parliamentarians that come to Washington or their trade reps. And but I think grassland really is the point of focus right now, because it's hitting us right now, the impact on our family farmers, and as you described, the ripple effect with the local economy is significant. So we're trying to accelerate all this stuff.
Representative Kind, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Congressman Ron Kind is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. He joined us to talk about a letter that he sent to the USDA urging assistance for the 75 Wisconsin dairy farms that have lost the buyer for their milk.